This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and thispipelife.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Wire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Good evening to you, sir. How are you doing tonight?
You know, I feel good. It's the first time in like 3 weeks that I, you know, haven't had this crud thing going on.
You actually sound pretty good.
I thought last week y'all were going to have to put me down. We had people like writing me after the show being like, man, it just sounds like you're just doing awful.
wait. Was putting you down an option? I'm told that was not humane.
It's not, but, you know, I feel like after last week, it probably should have been an option.
They made an exception.
It was pretty bad. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, it was it was pretty bad. But, you know, I hadn't been enjoying my pipe for the past couple of weeks because I just, I don't smoke it, you know, because if I can't taste it and I can't enjoy it, like, the past couple of days have been the first few days that I've actually been able to smoke my pipe, enjoy the flavor.
Yeah.
And you know, enjoy the room note and all that kind of stuff, and so I'm slowly picking it back up. But yeah, it's been a tough couple weeks here for the tobacconist. Yeah,
but you're back on your feet.
Back on our feet. We got a new paint job in the shop.
It
which
looks
is nice.
Beautiful.
Really nice. Looks like the same nicotine color that it was before. It was very
but brighter,
very nice.
Somehow.
But brighter. Yeah, a brighter, more modern nicotine color. But yeah, real nice. The landlord was kind enough to put some new ceiling tiles in, so we'll you know, have a new canvas for our smoke to mess up over the next 46 years.
It's Ragnarok, man. It's the crumbling down of everything to be returned with something new. It's that kind of you know, post-apocalyptic, but in a good way. You know, kind of a new Genesis rebirth, if you will.
That's right. And something to destroy. This is gonna be great.
But no, it looks great. No, but from the ashes came, I think, something really, really good.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, there you
go. Well, you know, man, I was in New York this last past week, you know, normally when I travel, I like to visit up some different pipe shops and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the only pipe shop I found myself in by accident was a glass pipe shop. Yeah, it was completely
accident. Well, did you get anything?
No. I did. I got there was a lovely, what I thought was a Christmas ornament. It was not. It was a glass pipe.
You gonna?
Very.
At least it wasn't something else. I mean, you could walk out of there with all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, this is true. Well, I'll tell you this. So I was there on business. Had some great meetings and got a chance to meet some really interesting people. And so that kind of took a lot of my time, and I wasn't able to do as much socializing as I normally like to do when I travel. However, I did experience something that I feel I need to share.
What happened in New York?
Okay, so there is this thing in New York called Sleep No More. Now, Sleep No More is a interactive theatrical experience.
Okay.
I think the best way I could possibly describe it.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if y'all are aware of this and everything else, but basically what they've done is they've taken this old building in Chelsea, and they've taken, it's a 5-story building, and every single floor of this building is like the stage, is the set, and you go in and you're given a mask and you just go and you explore. And around this, every single floor has a scene going on at any given time.
Dude.
All of the actors are in character, but they don't talk because everything is like done very non-verbally.
Okay.
And you have to, like, you know, in some instances, you have to kind of get close to them if you actually want to know what's really going on. Like, there's one detective character and like she's getting clues. So you have to kind of stand over her shoulder to read what she's reading. And it's...
That is bizarre.
It is the most...
So it's interactive even for the viewer. It is.
It is. In fact, actually, sometimes they don't acknowledge your existence until they do. And when they do, they take you by the hand and pull you off into
a
side
terrifying.
Room.
Yeah.
Dude, okay. So here's what happened to me. There was this taxidermist character. And I stayed back in the room when everybody else followed another character out. He looks at me, takes me by the hand, pulls me into this dark alley, into this dark bathroom. It's like very dimly lit. And then like there's this creepy music playing.
What?
Well, the lights go out, the creepy music goes up, he sits me down in the stall. All right, now...
Oh my gosh!
I'm telling you. Then...
This is at the point where you call, like, America's Most Wanted or something.
This is what I'm saying! It's so creepy. So then a light comes on right next to me, and it shows that right next to it, like, right next to us is this, like, little metal tray. And on the metal tray is a syringe and this little vial of something. He takes the syringe, puts it in the vial, pulls out this, like, junk, and puts it on... there's two pieces of candy. He puts it on one piece of candy. He takes a piece of candy. He hands me the one with the stuff on it. He takes the other piece. We cheers. He takes his. I pocket mine because there's no way.
You weren't going to put that in your mouth.
Absolutely not.
What if I wanted my own taxidermied Bo York? I mean, could that guy could make that happen and may have tried.
I'm telling you. And so anyway, when he ends up like whispering something creepy in my ear, then like takes me back out to the rest of the scene. And so that's this thing, the actors will occasionally interact with the different viewers and everything. But it was insane. And I didn't quite gather this, just because I didn't quite gather exactly what was going on for the entire 3 hours of the show.
Right.
But apparently what they've done is they've taken Mickey B, otherwise known as the Scottish play.
Okay.
Some people might refer to it as Macbeth.
Oh, Mickey B. Okay. Okay. Got
it. Some people would do that.
Okay.
But here's the thing. So it's the story. It's that story that was occurring in like a 1930s set that was also very inspired by Alfred Hitchcock. It was creepy.
Oh, wow.
It was insane.
Yeah.
But I strongly recommend it.
I mean, it sounds...
It's not for the faint of heart. There's a lot of adult themes and nudity and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Right,
but
right.
It's
nothing
intense.
We endorse on Country Squire
nothing
Radio,
that we endorse
obviously.
On Country Squire Radio.
Right, right.
Except if that doesn't bother you, you need to check this out.
Right.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
I could go with a little taxidermied Bo York. Maybe just like one of those...
Yeah,
one of those little mini ones, though. Like, those little shrunken head people that they find in, like, South America.
Right.
Yeah. Just of this. Oh, that'd be fun. We'll make a little bobblehead up here on
pipe.
The tobacco bar. Yeah, it'd be great.
It'd be crazy.
Yeah.
But no, New York was amazing.
That's
man.
Great, man. Yeah, I'm absolutely. glad you had a good time up there, regardless of the glass pipe shop or not.
Or the crazy...
or the crazy, multi-leveled horror story.
I'm telling you. It's insane. Well, hey,
no,
that's
awesome.
That's what goes on up north, but down here in the south,
yeah.
Especially over in Texas, things are
Gosh,
a little bit
so exciting,
a little
man.
Bit more sane. In
I know,
fact,
I know,
very sane because they're going to be having October 7th through the 8th is going to be the Texas Pipe Show.
Yeah, and actually, I was corrected last week. It's just on the 7th. Just on the 7th. Whatever that Saturday is.
Oh man, if we keep it going though past midnight, it's going to the 8th.
Oh no, you're right, baby. Yeah, no, it's just on October 7th there in Fort Worth, Texas at Pop. Safari Room, man, there's going to be carvers coming from all over the country, particularly the South and Southwest, and man, it's just going to be a great time. We're proud to have a presence there, and man, we'll be talking about them a lot, particularly coming up the next few months here as we kind of get ready and more details come out. But man, it's going to be a great deal.
Absolutely. And
yeah.
Of course, you've got the honor for that particular show to be creating the custom blend that'll be used for the long smoke competition.
That's right. Yeah.
Later on in the show, as part of our listener feedback, I think we've even got some suggestions there. I think some folks got some ideas in mind. So.
You know, maybe instead of the white rose, we could do the yellow rose, like Texas, the yellow rose of Texas.
Is that
know?
A thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The song, The Yellow Rose of Texas?
Deep in the Yellow Rose of Texas.
I don't think that's how it goes.
Oh,
but
okay.
Yeah, we'll find the correct tune. Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, hey, before we dive into tonight's show, we got to give big ups. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a new Pipe Club member.
Ow!
Really excited for this. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Brady McElroy. Brady McElroy, welcome very much
I think you just mucked up his last name.
What are you talking about? Brady
McElroy. It's McElroy. It's McElroy.
There's an E there. You see the E?
Yeah, but it's before the L.
Well, it's Brady. We really want to welcome you at the Squire level to the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club. Thank you so much for joining us. And
Thank you so much, Brady.
Before the show, I was reading the name, and John Davis was like, that's not his name. But then he stopped as soon as he read it. He was like, oh.
Yeah, that's his name. Man, Brady, thanks so much for joining. I feel like at this point, if someone does join the club and they have a really simple name, like Bo York, for instance,
way I spell it, though.
Or John David Cole, I feel like they'll be disappointed at some point. Like, you know, they can't goof up my name. Like, it's just this kind of rite of passage thing.
Well, just wait until...
I don't know, maybe you ought to join under a different name, like, you know, Bo... Jorgensnoodle.
Well,
something like that.
Just wait until next week, man. I saw we had a new member that joined like right before the show, and I read it and I was like,
"Oh, today?"
Yeah, and so that name will be shouted out next week.
Poor
and
guy.
I almost feel like they're testing me. That's what I think is going on here. That's what I think is going on. But Brady, welcome to the club.
Brady,
thank you so much
at the Squire level. That is so great, man. We're up to I was checking right before we got on air. I think we're up to 83 people now that are regularly supporting us on Patreon.
Man, thank y'all so much.
And that is just an incredible show of your commitment to helping us make Country Squire Radio happen letting us come and invade your life once a week.
So absolutely.
We're very thankful for y'all and are glad to be here.
Absolutely. All right, man. The show tonight.
I'm really excited about this.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about
Pipe Shop Peeves. I mean, is that what we're calling this?
I think so. I'd I'd like to broaden it to just like tobacco shop peeves.
Okay, all right.
Because I might have a few things related to maybe folks that don't just smoke a pipe.
Oh snap!
But you know, I don't know. Bo and I, you know, we talk about our experiences both here and elsewhere across the country, and it's like I don't know. You're going to give us a platform tonight to just vent a little bit.
So you say that, it makes me nervous because we're not a venting show.
No, we're not. But you know, sometimes you get all this pent up rage, and you know, it's like the folks that you know would be in the helping profession or counseling or something.
Sure.
They would want you to get that out.
Okay.
And at some point, you know, you'd want to get that out. And who better to get that out with than our good friends and our friends through Country Squire Radio that can walk through us through this very tender moment as we process some of these just terrible, terrible things.
I would like to meet the licensed therapist who tells you that you need to get that anger out specifically online.
Online.
that's the piece of it.
Don't go see them. Right.
Quite work for me.
Yeah, get that out amongst a complete thing of total strangers where they can share it across the globe and abuse you. Right?
Well, hey, before... Okay, pipe shop peeves and general tobacco shop peeves. Tobacco shop tick-offs. I like the
tobacco shop
alliteration.
Tick-offs. Yeah, no, that's good.
All right, so what grinds your gear? So this is the thing. We're going to come at this from two different levels, right?
Yeah.
One of us, and we won't mention who here, but one of us is a tobacconist and an owner of a tobacco shop. The other is a patron who, and I have this on good authority, has never actually owned a pipe tobacco shop.
Yeah.
Now, which one of us that is, we'll let you be the judge. Although this is potentially somebody's first episode. So John David is the tobacconist and I am the patron.
Man. Yeah. So we thought we'd kind of, you know, just talk about the general culture of pipe shops and smoke shops, but then also, you know, talk about just things that people do around smoking culture, people do around institutions like the Squire and any other smoke shop that might just kind of get under your skin a little bit. So Bo was going to mention a few from kind of the consumer standpoint, you know, maybe on his side of the counter. And then I was going to, you know, mention, you know, some of the things that grind my gears on the tobacconist side of the counter. Yeah.
Should I kick it off? Because, I mean, that's the thing. When
You got something to start with?
Well, I was just thinking about the fact, you know, the customer's always right, right? That's what we, that's what we're told. That's what they tell us. And because the customer believes they're always right, that always gives us kind of a chance to, you know, we always feel entitled to vent at the patron of said, or the owner of said establishment, or whoever is managing at the time. And understand, I did some time in retail. I did quite a few years in retail. So not in the tobacconist sense.
No,
but
that's right.
I've done that whole, you know, I the service industry.
You get it.
You just have to sit there, smile, and say, yes, sir, may I have another sometimes?
Well, yeah, you know, particularly those customers that come in and they don't necessarily know how plugged in you are to or interested in their conversation. You know, I mean, you want to sell them something and you want to take care of them. You want even be you even want to be engaged and involved in their life and daily, you know, stuff. But it's, you know, it at some point you just don't really care about your grandmother's corn on the bottom of their left foot.
Oh, snap.
I mean, because that kind of stuff happens at the Country Squire.
I'm sure it does. All right, so I will be then the voice of, I guess, the consumer, so to speak.
Yeah.
And, those of you listening.
What's something when you go into a tobacco shop that kind of gets under your skin?
Well, so here's the deal. I have been very fortunate, especially over the last couple of years, to travel. You know, I've lived in a few different places, you know, most specifically here in Mississippi, but also in Memphis. And let me start off by saying I'm not going to name names of any shops.
No, that's good.
Except for one in particular.
Yeah, that dump in Jackson.
Well, I'm not gonna name any of these.
I heard that thing's run by some schmuck. Yeah,
I'm not gonna name any names. You know, outside of family, so to speak. But one of the things that, you know, I've shared this before, and I think it goes without saying, it's a good kind of thing to acknowledge in terms of pipe shops, and especially for new people going into pipe shops. A lot of times there are shops out there where you walk in and you can tell there's a culture that's already established that you don't know if you're a part of yet. And this ultimately ends up happening in a lot of situations where, you know, it's an older establishment.
Yeah, sure,
you know, you walk in and you feel like you've interrupted something.
Yeah.
And it can be one of the most intimidating things for a new pipe smoker, especially a younger pipe smoker.
Yeah.
You know,
the door opens, you know, there's a hazy room full of typically older men, and everyone turns silently and looks at you.
And it's like hedgehogs, you know, right. Like they're all like huddled in, but then you walk through the door and they're all staring you down. And here's the other thing too, because, you know, I think it's a great thing, especially for the owner or the manager to be engaged with the customers. But, you know, my first time buying a pipe, it was exactly that experience. I walked in, all these guys huddled around, they stopped what they were doing. One of the guys stood up, like he was annoyed that I was there, and then walked over to me and to help me. And like everybody else was just, they wouldn't continue on the conversation. They were just staring me down. So like, apparently I had like stolen their
who
friend.
Let the riffraff in?
Yeah. And it was
be fair, you probably hadn't shaved in a couple months. I don't know.
Well, you know, this is my early days, man. Whether or not I could grow a beard is
back when you had like a jawline.
Yeah, it's immaterial back then. But it was, man. It was so intimidating. And you know, especially like I said, for a new pipe smoker who doesn't know what the cost of a pipe is, and so you have kind of these preconceived notions and
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you can attest from seeing folks come in all the time, but people think that it's a pretty cheap experience. And while it is a cost-effective experience, overall, it tends to be much more expensive than they realize going in.
No, sure, yeah. I mean, there's stuff you have to purchase to make it work.
And so, like, when you're kind of told about all these accessories you didn't even know existed, you almost kind of feel like they're just trying to get one over on you.
That's
and
right.
Like, oh, we're just trying to get as much of his money, then shove him out the door so we can get back on this conversation.
It kind of does make you appreciate, like the pipe smoker starter kit, something that just kind of, you know, is inexpensive, that, you know, has all the little pieces there together. Because you feel at some point almost, you know, and even on this side of the counter, at some point I feel like I'm kind of trying to overwhelm someone just by saying, oh, you need this. Oh, you need this. Oh, right. You need this. But you, the problem is, you actually have to have a tamper to smoke a pipe. Like, yes, you have to have pipe cleaners. Like, these are things that you have to have.
Well, and that's the thing. So if you don't have that sense of like comfort level when you walk in,
right.
you don't feel like you're a part of it. And it's hard to kind of be like, oh, okay, I trust you when you're putting all of this stuff in front of me.
Well, so something from my perspective that, you know, if you want to talk about, you know, getting under my skin, and not just from my side, but also from other people's sides, you know, when you've got smokers that come in and they're, you know, this is kind of their safe space, but, you know, and they're trying to let their guard down. There's a piece of pipe smoking, necessity that constantly runs away. And that is the humble tamper. A tamper, is very important to keep your pipe lit. And actually,
communal. Anybody can just take them at their leisure.
And
free.
And yet they're not.
Oh, what?
And yet they're not. That's the thing. Like if you bring your tamper into a pipe shop and lay it on the counter right in front of you or something like that, it was a pet peeve of many, many customers is that someone will just walk up, use their tamper, and then walk off with it, kind of thing. And so that happens pretty regularly. And it's kind of interesting, you know, we kind of get to the point where we're almost too comfortable with each other's personal spaces or something, you know. But yeah, folks will walk up, take a tamper, and then walk off with it. And before you know it, you've lost your, you know, like, you know, $70 Dunhill tamper or whatever. It's
right.
Just crazy.
Right.
It's just really interesting. One thing that we have to do on our side of the counter, of course, and we've had customers that have laughed at this for years and years, we actually paint all of our house tampers with fingernail polish.
Fingernail polish. And out of John David's own personal collection.
That's right. That's the
tampers.
Yeah, the tampers. Right.
Right. Yeah.
The tampers. Yeah. Yeah. The fingernail polish, not at all.
Well, that's yours as well, but I meant was talking about
right. Yeah, you could see this day I was feeling kind of a rose pink color.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
So, you know, I just
really brings out your beard.
Well, I just want you to know, like, if you walk off with this this tamper, that you should feel completely emasculated. Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. We have so many folks that'll come in and these tampers, you know, they just kind of slowly disappear. But what's neat is that, you know, since they've been painted, people will occasionally come back a week, 2 weeks later and be like, man, I am so sorry. Like, I found this in my car and like, I knew this wasn't mine. Yeah. It's like, it was pink. Who do you think it was?
Well, you know, sometimes you look down at your tamper and you're like, oh, I didn't know I had 30 pink tampers. That's kind of odd. How'd that happen? And then you realize that, oh, I've been taken from the country squire. And you're like, well, it's too late now. I mean, they're here.
They're here at this point.
Yeah.
another thing that really gets under my skin from this side of the counter.
All right.
Is when people do not understand that they can purchase their own pipe cleaner. So you can come to a pipe shop and you can buy your own pipe cleaner.
Whole pack of them.
Yeah, an entire, like I will actually sell you a 100 pack of them.
Oh snap.
And each one of them is worth just a couple of cents, and you can buy one yourself.
Right.
Instead of bring them with you when you come here and use them yourself. But you know, so there's this constant need of pipe smokers to have pipe cleaners.
Y'all, John David's getting a crazy eye right now.
I'm just telling you, kind of, you know, it's just a thing, right? And
right,
so you're
right,
just
right.
constantly needing these pipe cleaners, and people forget the ability of themselves to take this thing that doesn't weigh a gram and just buy one or carry it with them. Carry it with them. So, you know, we have a fun semi-passive aggressive solution for this at the Squire. Of course, when people... When people need a pipe cleaner, you know, we are happy to give them one, but we hold this little tray out, and it says in big letters, "We sell these." And they have to get the pipe cleaner from the tray that says, "We sell these." And that's just our little way of shaming people into purchasing something.
That's nice.
Very insignificant, but that, you know, we really need them to just bring their own.
That's good. That's good. Or you could order some for the table. That'd be...
Pipe cleaners for the table.
That's what I'm saying.
Some appetizers, you know.
Oh, can have a pipe cleaner
for the table.
I tell you what, you can buy a round for the table right now. We'll set it up, and there you go.
It is funny. We do have some repeat abusers, you know, offenders.
And I'm very sorry for that.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, these are folks
I also drink the whiskey I stole from your office.
That's a whole new episode. That's a totally different episode. But alcohol that has been stolen from John David Cole. Like at the Country Squire, like that, we can go on and on and on about that. But anyway, I have to find places in my own shop to hide things that I don't want to be destroyed or stolen, and the most of which is Boodles. It's just constantly running away.
That one I can tell you, it wouldn't be.
But the thing about that is, okay, and since we're on the alcohol rant,
oh snap,
okay. Have I told you the story, and have I told our listeners the story of our friend the Hurricane and when he tried to hide liquor up here?
We're not naming names though, right?
We're not naming names.
All right.
But we have someone that loves to just drink everyone's alcohol.
This is true.
At the Country Squire. And this person has a nose for it. They sniff it out.
I don't keep my own alcohol.
No,
up
that's
here
right. That's right. Because it disappears, right? Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things. And so you know, everyone's around smoking their pipes, but if someone, you know, happens to bring in a fifth of whiskey or, you know, some of their favorite...
Get some scotch?
Yeah, scotches or something.
Expensive stuff sometimes?
If you pop the cork, all of a sudden, before you know it, half of it's gone. And one person accounts for that half. And it's just like, man, this is kind of intense. Well, anyway, this person at one point tried to hide his own stuff at the Country Squire. Okay? Now, this was fun. this was a lot of fun. So there were only a couple of us that knew where he had put this. Okay? He came in one day. He had this huge bottle of, it was this real expensive Irish whiskey. I think it was like 70 or 80 bucks, you know, for a fifth of this whiskey. It's very expensive for whiskey. And he comes in, he has a little bit, and he's just gawking. He just wants everyone in the room to know just how incredibly exquisite it is. And, you know, over the top, oh, it's so smooth. Got all these notes. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. And y'all are plebeians. You can't, you know, afford this crap and all this kind of stuff.
He's very high on himself.
Oh, very high on himself. Well, anyway, so he didn't finish it. This is great. And he hides it in the shop. And then he leaves. And then a couple days later, a good friend of mine comes in the shop. And him and I, we were the only two that really knew where he had hidden this stuff.
Okay? Right, right, right.
So this friend...
Is this the anti-hurricane?
This is the anti-hurricane.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so Stephen comes in the shop.
Not naming names.
And he says, hey, he has this big old grin on his face. And he's like, we're going to have some fun today. And so he goes next door and he looks the guy in the liquor store in the eye. And he says... I need the expletive worst brown liquor that you have in this shop. He's like, I don't care what kind of liquor it is. Like, it can be anything. I want the worst brown liquor you have in this store. And the guy sold him a pint of, it was a pint of old port rum.
Oh.
And it was like $8.50. I mean... And you opened the bottle and it smelled like turpentine. Oh. Okay, I mean it was just foul. Okay, so it was awful. So anyway, our friend the anti-hurricane, he goes and finds this exquisite bottle of Irish whiskey. He takes it and gently pours it into into a plastic water bottle and then replaces the amount with this old port rum.
Oh my gosh. Okay, yes.
The only thing it had in common with this fancy Irish whiskey was that it was brown. That's it. Okay.
Right.
Other than that, it tasted like something that you would remove fingernail polish off my pipe tamp with. I mean, it was bad. So anyway, the next time the hurricane comes in, he finds his little stash and pours them while everyone's around smoking their pipes and everything. And he's like, oh, y'all should. And he's sitting here drinking this stuff. Right. And he's like, y'all should just try this. It's just so amazing. And the notes are so, you know, he's like, while he's drinking it, like this old port rum that, I mean, it tastes like, you know, something you found at the bottom of the dishwasher or something. Like, it's just awful.
And
he's like, oh, this is so floral, and it, you know, I taste all these, you know, notes of pine and all these things. He's like, oh, you know, you should get some sometime. And everyone's just like, you're just kind of a jackass.
That's great. Man,
but that's what you get for stealing booze at the Country Squire.
That's exactly what you get. And what I want to do, I want to challenge the listeners right now who just heard that story and were inspired. Take Bob Dylan's The Hurricane song and make a parody based on that story, because I would love to hear that.
It was great. Golly, it was so good.
All right, so that's a good one, man. All right,
that's a good one.
I got one from the customer side.
Okay, go ahead.
So this is, you know, like I said, I've been to several different shops, and this is something that I've noticed not just in the tobacco world, but I think most specialty shops. You know, back in the day, I used to go to comic book shops a lot, that sort of thing. And as in back in the day with comic book shops, I've also been to shops where you walk in and you kind of feel dirty a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's just a grunge aspect that's not quite the right kind of grunge.
Okay.
You know, like,
okay.
The shop doesn't feel very kept up or...
Okay, you know. So you walk into a shop almost like...
Well, I don't want to name names.
No, but I mean, you walk into, you know, a shop that feels just kind of unkept, not neat, that
yes,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and at the Squire, there's a piece of that that's kind of in our DNA. But can it go too far?
There's a level that I think is a little bit too grunge. So, all right, Country Squire, I mean, you know, goodness, you walk into the shop right now, you've got the cabinets all lit up, you've got the new paint job and everything. I can't really throw the Country Squire into this boat right now.
Yeah, but if you lick the floor, you'll get like hepatitis or something. It's kind of gross in here.
But you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like lights are burned out, and you can clearly see they hadn't been, you know, used in like forever. And
right.
Like, there's just kind of a general sense that they hadn't really been keeping
There's
up
cobwebs and stuff, like, yeah,
just not even trying. And that's something I would never say about the Country Squire, especially, you know, and you know, definitely in the old days, but especially today.
You would have about 4 years ago, but.
Well, today, in the current era of the Country Squire, no one would be able to get away with saying that. But I have been to shops like that.
Now, it's good.
And understand,
good.
Like, there is a good kind of grunge. I think of specifically, and they might not even appreciate me even using the term grunge, but I think about, like, a shop in particular that I was at in Tupelo that I hope to visit again, which is you walk in, and there is a very much an old feel. I mean, like, there's, like,
yeah,
New Orleans-style brick on the walls and on the floor, and, you know, you can tell, like, there's just a kind of an old-world feel to it.
Right.
But it's not, like, dirty. And so that's the thing. I think that...
It's kind of like a foul... Yeah. Well, one thing, you know, several years ago, kind of when our shop wasn't as active, but we're still here, still trucking along, and, you know, all that, was if folks would come in, I would actually got online and at some point read some of these reviews from online websites.
Yeah,
and people were like, man, the place was nice, but it was just kind of dirty. It's like, you know, potted plants that had tipped over that no one had bothered to clean up, and, like, you know, pipes with, like, cobwebs on them and stuff like this, and you know, just on and on. So I get that, but you know, the nice thing about a nice just a soft layer of film in a old dusty tobacco shop is, you know, that patina kind of gives it some it's patina. It kind of gives it just a real nice sometimes a luster. But you got to be careful in a shop like this not to spill your drink, because you'll leave a clean spot.
Hey. Hey, that's why this counter's so clean. All right,
I know. We've ruined this counter by it's got too many clean spots.
Yeah,
on it.
But you got the whiskey residue there for sure.
All right, so one thing that really really bothers me from the tobacconist perspective.
You know what really grinds your gears?
What really grinds my gears is that it is when a I'm going to pick on our cigar friends for a second. Okay?
Oh.
So this is not just a pipe guy. This is, this is cigar guys.
We're getting political.
But when a cigar guy, my blood pressure is going up. When a cigar guy comes in and he acts like he knows every stinking thing about cigars, on and on and on, and then he, you know, smokes half this, you know, $12 stick that he just bought, or God forget, he actually brought in or whatever from some other shop.
Oh.
But then when he goes to leave, this guy that just pontificated about how he's God's gift to the cigar community, okay, takes his cigar and doesn't know better than to crush it into the ashtray. Okay, so you've got this big stinky cigar that just, I mean, you know,
he didn't even smoke it,
but it's burning, and instead of just letting it die like a cigar aficionado would do,
right,
because a cigar will go out, it just dies, it's not, you know, it's not something you have to put out,
right.
He takes it like he brought a Marlboro at the freaking Five and Dime and he grinds it into the ashtray, and then the doggone cigar just sits there and smolders for like 45 minutes.
Oh,
that happens all the time.
Man.
And it's just like they'll do it on the tobacco bar. And I'm like, man, I just come on. Come on.
All right. So
give me a break.
This is a good education for me because I am not a cigar guy, but I do.
No,
do
that has been established. You're not a cigar
guy. I'm not a cigar guy. Yes. Yeah. There's photo evidence, but no,
medical evidence.
Yeah, that as well. but I did not, I actually thought I was supposed to like smush it, but you're not supposed to smush it.
No, a cigar will just very, just like a pipe, you know, if you don't tend to a cigar, it's not nearly as high maintenance, but it'll just go out.
All right.
The cigar just goes out. But if you crush it, you know, cigar leaves will stay lit a lot easier than pipe tobacco leaves will. And if you crush the cigar into an ashtray, just smush it down in there like you're trying to squash a bug or something, you know, it all those leaves will just continue to just smolder and burn. But it's almost like it's a unpleasant burn. You know, a lot of times cigars smell good when they're burning.
Yeah.
But for some reason, when you do that in the ashtray, maybe it's going to connect with other ashes or some kind of junk in the ashtray.
Sure, sure, sure.
And,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden you start this little bonfire like in your ashtray.
It's like this unholy union that's going on.
Oh,
that really
it's just
foul.
It's just
interesting.
Awful. Yeah, I'm against it completely.
All right, this is interesting. So, I you know, we talked about, I think on our 200th episode, how, you know, at some point we were thinking about, like, how do we get a little cigar content in there for our friends, our brothers across the aisle, so to speak.
Yeah.
But that might be a little gateway there, because I even though I'm not a cigar person, I would like to not look like an idiot to the best that I am humanly able to.
At least with cigars.
At least with
right.
cigars.
Right.
And so that might be something in the future to educate those of us who are not, you know,
as well versed.
Indoctrinated. Yeah.
Another thing that just really gets on my skin is when folks come in here and they don't, most of them just don't know any better, okay? But you know, a lot of them kind of think they do. Again, there's that aura of like, you know, I know everything there is to know. I want to come in, and for some reason, it's going to help you sleep at night because you're going to impress the guy behind the counter or something. You know,
oh, yeah.
And you know, so we, you know, and that's great. It's good for people to come in. We're proud that, you know, folks know things about this and that. But that time when someone buys a really nice pipe, okay, we're talking like a Costello or something,
and those can be upwards of,
and yeah, I mean, we're talking, you know, $1,000 pipe per, for instance, you know.
Wow, yeah.
And then someone goes over to the counter and puts a torch lighter to the pipe. Okay, so like, so you took this torch lighter, which is meant for, you know, burning cigars at, you know, 1,000 degrees, so you can caramelize the end of the tobacco.
This is, by the way, for those that are not familiar, kind of the lightsaber looking thing.
No, that's right. It's a torch lighter. Yeah. It's meant for cigars, and it looks like a jet flame. And you'll take your, you know, very expensive new beautiful pipe that you've just purchased. I recently had a guy come in, and he took his lighter to a brand new Clark's Favorite Savinelli, and he had just bought the Savinelli, and he made the entire rim of the pipe on the top look like just black ash. It was just, oh, it just made
man,
my skin crawl.
Yeah. That's crazy.
It was terrible.
All right, so you know, the one I want to throw this one out as kind of my last thing.
Okay.
Because I think that when it comes to kind of the pipe shop piece, and this is, this is difficult for me to say because you asked me. You said, look, don't
sure,
just talk
about... You
got
to pick on our shop, too.
Don't just talk about the other shops. You got to mention this one. I'm like, but John David, this one's so great. This one's so perfect.
We got problems, man.
Well,
we all got problems.
Well, that's what they say. I was trying to rack my brain, trying to think of, okay, well, what is my problem? And I look around this place and, you know, I don't really have that many problems with the shop. I think it's a great shop. But then I remember, oh, but I've heard a lot of people talking. And I know what probably is probably the number one complaint that I hear about this pipe shop in particular.
Okay.
And I mean, it is consistent.
Yeah.
And it is something that you could tell really makes people mad.
My antennas are up here.
And that is that, you know, people get comfortable in the shop.
Right.
And when you come up to them and say, hey, you got to leave, we got to record a podcast. Man, they don't like that. They do, and I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say they don't like that. That's probably the most consistent thing I've heard about this show.
You know, that might be a unique peeve to you, actually. But
well, I don't know.
But that's interesting. No, it might be to the guy behind the counter, too. But yeah, I mean, there's something about, you know, having to stop everything and record a podcast that, I could see where that would be bothersome. Yeah.
You know, I mean, some folks in here, they know what's going on and everything.
No, they get it. They get it.
And we never, other than that one time, which was our 200th episode, we never shut the shop down early or anything like that.
It's always like, you know, the shop closes at a certain time and then we, you know, kindly tell
folks. And then 5 minutes later.
Right. Five minutes later, you know, people are still here, and then maybe another 10 minutes later, people are still here, and you know, we kindly tell folks, well, you know, we're about to, you know, do this thing, and we do it every Monday night, and can I get you anything before you go, or you know, whatever, and you know, you just hope at some point the hint is taken.
Right.
Now you've got those other people that, you know, you're not just worried about the hint being taken. They fully well know
what's going on.
They know exactly what's going on. But their whole intent is to get under your skin by messing with the podcast cheese, right? But Bo and I, you know, but when we get ready for Country Squire Radio, we kind of have this routine. I have to go kind of sit, you know, I'm kind of camera shy, so I kind of sit by myself a little bit. And
I sing show tunes.
You know, Bo sings all kinds of
parody songs,
all kinds of terrible things that would never be worth, you know, letting.
I'll sing it on air.
Yeah, I know. it's awful. Yeah, just awful, the stuff that Bo sings. But you know, we kind of have this little rhythm, and the whole point of some people is to, you know, come in and actually you know, get you know, under the skin of the podcaster. I don't know.
I get that.
That's fair.
That's part of it. But no. I will say, like, you know, you did ask me. You're like, well, if you're gonna talk about other shows or shops, you got to talk about this one.
No, I got nothing.
I really don't. You had a blend called Lancaster for a long time. That bothered me, and there was nothing to counterbalance it until we had the White Rose, which is God's gift to the tobacco industry.
Pipe tobaccos. one other thing, and I have to tell the story because it's so funny.
Yeah,
we had a guy that came in here one time, and he wanted to sample every tobacco. And look, behind us on the tobacco bar, if you're watching live tonight, I mean, there's, what, 30, over 30 house blends now here at the Squire. We've got other national blends that we, you know, carry, things like the Mac Baron tobaccos and some McClellan 5100 and things like that. But this guy was intent. He wanted to try every one, and he burned through a half bowl of every one.
Now, this is back when that was a thing.
No, back when it was a thing,
right?
Before our two-bit hit or whatever.
Right. That's right.
And, you know, so we had this guy, he sampled everyone, and he could not, you know, everyone, they all taste the same. This guy, okay, he had the nerve. He had the nerve to go to every ashtray. This blew my mind. Not only is this, like, so offensive, it is disgusting and repulsive, and just, what kind of animal? Okay, what kind of animal? So this guy went to every ashtray.
Uh-huh.
This is filthy. He went to every ashtray in this shop and picked out cigar butts out of every ashtray. All right.
No.
He proceeds to sit at the tobacco bar right here and pushes all. This is a real story. He pushes all the stuff aside on the tobacco bar so he could make himself a little room. And he pulled these cigar butts out and put them on the tray. These are like slobbery cigar butts he just pulled out of ashtrays. Okay. that people he'd never met in his life that had smoked these things. He pulls his pocket knife out and starts chopping these cigar butts up like carrots. I'm dead serious. Like it was like you're just sitting there chopping celery, okay? And like you're just hacking away at these cigar butts, just trying to, you know, he's cutting them up and he starts loading them into his pipe.
No,
he loaded them in his pipe. This happened. And it's like he's like, I want something strong like this. And like at this time, this individual also had the nerve to, which actually I don't mind when people bring their dogs, but he brought his dog that day. And so
you do kind of mind when people bring their dogs.
No, it depends on the dog.
It depends on the dog.
Yeah. So if Penny comes up here, she's typically pretty good.
So if it's your dog.
If it's my dog, it's fine. If it's your dog, we got questions. Right. But typically people, it's fine if people bring their dogs. But so this guy, he's sitting here literally just chopped up these used cigar butts that like, you know, because he's trying to find this perfect strong tobacco and he's loading them in his pipe and he's like, you know, I mean, there's no telling what could have been. The butts might have even been from like the day before.
I know this guy. He's
just foul. He's
the one that died of pneumonia a couple weeks back. That's I know exactly who you're talking about. That's
so, right. You know, so this guy, he's sitting there, you know, mixing these cigar butt, you know, shavings up, putting them in his pipe. And then all of a sudden, his dog just happened. I'm sitting here just in awe, like watching this guy, my jaw hung open, you know, trying to figure out, like, does he realize what he's doing? Like, is he insane? Should I call, like, the state hospital? Or, like, his dog, which was absent for a few minutes. We didn't see his dog. We didn't know where his dog was. Well, his dog was hiding, apparently, over behind the buffing wheel. So we have a buffing wheel in the corner of the shop here that were, you know, actually polished pipes.
What was the dog doing with the buffing wheel?
So if you bring your pipe in and the stem is oxidized or something like that, then, you know, you can give it to me. I'll, you know, take a few days on it and, you make the stem all nice and shiny, refurbish your pipe, put a nice coat of carnauba wax on it and all that kind of stuff. This dog reappears right as this guy is loading his pipe up with other people's nasty cigar butts. He reappears with a huge block of white diamond polish in his mouth. White diamond polish is the stuff that, like, we use it in chunks because we use so much of it, but
we put it
on the buffing wheel to take off the oxidation on your ebonite stem. And this dog is just having a feast. I mean, he just looks like he, like, has his giant marshmallow in his mouth. And I look at the dog and I look at the guy, and, you know, I think I have a slow fuse for the most part. I mean, I think so. Like, people
give
come
him,
in.
Look,
and,
you've got a...
Look,
a,
I'm relatively patient, but, like, you know, I mean, people come in and they've got stuff going on. And, I, you know, for some people, I want them to come in and have a safe, fun experience. And, you know, if you're different or got something going on you talk about, like, this is your place. But, man, like, I saw the guy chopping up the cigar butts. I just pulled down every single jar, like, on the shelf.
Uh-huh.
Like, and he didn't like any of those. And then his dog is eating my white diamond polish. And I just look at him and said, "Get the hell out!"
That was it. That was the breaking point.
I really couldn't stand it. Like, it actually blew my mind. Like, I never lose it like that. I never, ever lose it like that.
Oh,
but it was one of those things where, man, it just happened. It was like watching a train wreck. And once it came to complete fruition, I lost it.
I want to rename this series Crazy Customer Coincidences or something of that nature.
It was at that moment that I started keeping a journal about my shop.
Did you really?
I'm telling the truth here. Like, I've really let the guard down here tonight. Okay, like, I've
where's
you know,
the
I've,
journal?
So I you know I've let people know, you know, I'm keeping notes about the shop, but it's just funny. Like, I love the stories that come out of a shop like this. But it was that day that I realized, like, I've got to start writing this stuff down. Like, who comes in and takes things, slobbery plant matter that people have left inside these ashtrays with people's trash, like, you know, there's like coffee bits in there, and people put their used pipe cleaners in there,
man.
And like, and, you know, it, matches that are, you know, half burned and all this stuff, and there's like these cigar butts that are in there, just, you know, people, you know, have had them all in their face. Extinguish them in an ashtray, and then you're gonna chop it up with your buck knife, and it just blew my mind. And then you have the nerve to let your dog eat my polish.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
It was out of control. Anyway, I'm cooling down a little bit now.
No, I can tell, man. This,
I'm cooling down a little.
This particular episode took an interesting turn. Like, we ended up with some great customer stories right there.
All right. So I've got one more.
You got
that
one
I have
more
to share.
All right,
I've got one more that I have to share, and it is the king of all pet peeves for the guy on my side of the counter.
All right, all right.
And it's when a lighter, customers are having trouble getting a lighter to work, and I've got this beautiful torch lighter here that does not work. And it's very, very, very pretty. And folks, don't just, you know, it's any butane lighter that this can happen to. So it's not just a torch lighter. But there's this little noise that it makes whenever you click it.
You told me it didn't work. I knew it didn't work, but then you click it right up to the mic, and like my heart almost jumped out of my chest. Like,
but people will take this lighter and they'll click it over and over and over and over and over
right.
and over.
It's lovely,
and I'll leave you with that. Tobacco shop peeves, everybody.
Oh man! All right. Well, there you go. It's quite a unique episode of Country Squire Radio.
Yeah,
little bit soapbox, little story time with Uncle John David, and a couple of shared experiences from the customer and the tobacconist.
Party Time Tryhard says, we finally heard the story that broke someone when someone broke JD. Well, and yes, you're right.
You won't appreciate this because you don't get superheroes, but there's a scene from the Avengers where Dr. Bruce Banner is, you know, the aliens are coming in and it's time for him to, he's got to Hulk
right.
out and everything. And he explains it like, Dr. Banner, it's time to get angry. And he says, well, that's my secret, Cap. I'm always angry. And then he like hulks out and punches the alien. That was the day you hulked out and punched the alien.
No, I did. I'm always just fuming and simmering underneath. But yeah, it's disgusting.
Man. All right. Well, there you go. There you go. Hey, you know, the great thing is, no matter if you're a tobacconist and you've been fighting the good fight, representing your awesome tobacco shop to the customer, or the customer who's had some amazing experiences or maybe even some not so amazing experiences, depending on what your shop situation is, one thing that we can all agree upon at any given time, be you John David Cole or the guy that brought his dog in and died of pneumonia from smoking the cigar butts, and that is that we all love one thing. Pipes from Missouri Meerschaum.
That is right. That is right. We love Missouri Meerschaum pipes. Of course, the biggest friend of Country Squire Radio and makers of great American traditional corncob pipes. Gosh, the memes that are coming in now are just fantastic. Yeah, you know, our friends at Missouri Meerschaum, they are a big part of why this show continues to exist and
Absolutely.
Happen and just have a great variety of pipes at different shapes and sizes and at an incredible price point as well. I think the value of a Missouri Meerschaum pipe is unmatched as far as its smoking quality compared to the, you know, the minimal hurt that it puts on your pocketbook.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, a lot of folks, too, they think at certain times in my career have been before, you know, I was better educated, didn't really realize how durable a Missouri Meerschaum pipe is, but you know, these corncob pipes, you know, the way they are careful to produce these things, they really last a lot longer than folks realize they do.
Oh
and
yeah,
so
big time.
You know, you're spending, you know, anywhere from $5 to, you know, $30 on a pipe, and these are pipes that are durable. A lot of them have real thick walls. They the construction on them is solid. The stem work is generally you know, good, and these are pipes that for the price, it's just incredibly hard to beat, and if you take care of them, they'll really last.
That's right. So check out Missouri Meerschaum. If you don't have a Missouri Meerschaum pipe, you need to get one. Why haven't you done that? Like John David said, for the price, they're just absolutely a must-have for your collection. If you've got one this week, smoke it. Take a picture of yourself as you do. We love getting those in because we're able to retweet those out, and it's a great way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know you appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week. All right, man. Pipe question of the week this week comes in from Anonymous.
Anonymous?
Anonymous.
Was it like an embarrassing question?
Well, the anonymous question is, I found a pipe. I don't know whose it is or where it came from. Can I smoke it?
That's it?
So this might be the guy. This might be your cigar guy.
It might be. It might be. Yeah, I found a cigar butt, a slobbery cigar butt in an ashtray at a shop that I am not familiar with.
Right.
Can I cut it up on a foreign counter
uh-huh.
and put it in a pipe and smoke it while my dog eats your white diamond polish?
Well, the answer there, I think, is
no.
No. Absolutely not.
The answer is no.
But if it's a pipe. Now, let's assume this right. person found it legally or whatever. Maybe it's an estate pipe. Maybe it's something that's owned by so-and-so. But, you know, there's the question. If you didn't know where it came from, can you put your mouth on it?
Yeah. Let's take some steps before you do. The easiest thing is to get some pipe sweetener or pipe cleaner, and let's just get that thing real good and cleaned up. You might go through a half bag of pipe cleaners, but that's what they're there for, as long as you don't steal them from a friend. We encourage you to go get some pipe sweetener, some type of alcohol-based solution. A lot of folks will use grain alcohol, Everclear, maybe your favorite whiskey or something, but you want something with a really high alcohol content, and just scrub that the end of that pipe stem really well. Use your bag of cleaners. You know, go through there, get the inside of the stem really well. Ream the inside of the pipe bowl. Scrub the inside of the bowl, the inside of the shank. Scrub all that really, really good. If it hasn't been cleaned before, because you don't know what was in it, and you don't know how long it's been sitting dormant as well. If it's been sitting in a closet somewhere, there may have been some little critter that crawled up in there and had its little brood of something, and
is that a thing?
I'm just saying. It's a pipe, anything could crawl up in
it. I guess that's true.
I don't know, you might find a little nest of something in there.
Or maybe a
cobweb, or I don't know. I mean, there could be anything.
Right, I'm going home and cleaning out all of my pipes as soon as I get home.
Yeah.
Do you have any pipe cleaners I can borrow, by the way?
You can take it from this thing that we sell.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Our little we sell these.
So you sell the sign, I'll take a pipe cleaner.
Yeah. So you can have one as long as I have the ability to shame you. You found a pipe. Can you smoke it? Of course you can, but you want to clean it really, really well before you do, particularly if you got it from, a place that you're just not familiar with or whatever.
All right.
Yep.
So yes, but only if you clean it first.
That's right.
Enjoy that information, Anonymous. We hope you enjoy your questionable pipe. Let us know how that goes. And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week, you can send it in show@countrysquireradio.com. You can also send those in Facebook, Twitter, all those good stuff. But again, show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Quick fire question!
Ow!
All right. Man, I'm so excited about these quick fire questions. Coming in from thispipelife.com. Thispipelife.com, an amazing online community. I'll hear more about that in just a moment. But this is actually submitted in from our very own Pappy Joe. Now, these are questions that Pappy's been, really excited about for some time.
No, that's great.
Because I remember, it was a while back when he posted them, and we've been trying, like we do with our listener feedback, for the most part, we do try to when we get it in, or when we read it as it comes in. So, somebody could submit something, tonight, but we might not get to it for a couple of months, just depending on whatever the backlog is. And
sure,
that's just the way that it goes sometimes. Well, I'm really excited to dive into what Pappy has got for us.
This is quite a list. Yeah.
All right.
I haven't looked at any of these.
All right. Are you ready for this?
Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
Led Zeppelin or Eminem?
I'm just glad Pappy Joe knows who Eminem is.
I didn't say it. You said that.
I'm gonna go with Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, I don't want to I realize that Eminem is he's got a very loyal following.
No, that's right.
And I don't know enough about hip hop to be able to criticize what he brings to the table. It's just not my thing for the most part. And so, you got to get the lead out.
You can go with Led Zeppelin.
You got to get the lead out.
Okay.
All right. Driving down a country road or driving on the interstate highway through a large city?
Country road. All day, every day. Look, there's something nice about going through a large city, particularly one that maybe you're not familiar with, and getting to see the sights, looking around. If you're driving on the interstate through a big city, wow, look at these buildings, and oh, that looks interesting over there. Maybe I'll get to explore that someday. But look, being if it's a cool night and maybe it just rained a little bit before, and you roll your windows down, and you're smoking your pipe, and the sky's clear and it's starry outside, and maybe you got your little sweetie in the seat next to you, man, give me the country road.
Nice.
Any day of the week.
Nice. All right, so if I'm passenger seat, I'm with you, because with the city. Because if you're a passenger, you get a chance to look around at all these buildings. We're down here in Jackson, Mississippi.
Right.
We got a few tall buildings.
Yeah, there's a water tower.
There's a couple of them. But you go to some of these cities where just these skyscrapers are and everything else, and you see the city.
It's fun to look around.
If you are in the passenger seat, then yes. But if you're driving, country road, take me home.
Yeah. Unless you go through a speed trap.
To the place where I belong. Oh, man. We just did a little harmony right
there.
That's
nice. Yeah, that's all right. What's next, bud?
All right, what's next is we've got smoking English blend or Scottish mixture.
A Scottish mixture. I, you know, if you've listened to the podcast long enough, you know that I'm not a huge Latakia person. I like Latakia, but I like it really as a condiment tobacco. I like it as something that when you're slowly sipping a pipe at a very cool temperature, occasionally you'll get the Latakia kind of peeking out of the background.
Mm.
And so I'm gonna have to go with the Scottish mixture.
I'm gonna go with English.
Okay, good.
All right, there you go.
Great.
Walking barefoot in the hot sands in July or watching a bass fishing tournament on TV?
What do these have to do with each other?
Hey.
Probably nothing. I would probably rather walk barefoot in hot sand
in July
than watch someone else fish on TV.
Well, see, the great thing about...
I think I would rather do that.
The great thing about watching people fish on TV is a great way to fall asleep.
No, it is. It's kind of like watching golf, right?
Or Bob Ross.
Right. Or Bob Ross.
Yeah.
Yeah, just kind of subtly you to bed as he paints that little happy push.
I'm telling you, there's something about that that, like, reminds you of your grandfather.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same thing with, like, fish commentary, golf commentary, and Bob Ross painting. It just, they're just reminds you of that kind of comfort level of, like, your grandfather's in the background doing something, and you're just safe, and you can just kind of...
No, that's fair.
Go on to sleep. So I'm going to go with that for that reason. Plus... Okay. You burn your feet on that hot sand. All right, watching political commentary on Comedy Central or watching Bo try to paint something?
I would rather watch Bo try to paint something. I have to say, Bo, I don't know much about your painting skills, but
what,
I do know
what you saying?
But I do know that you're not renowned for your painting skills. And I would much rather watch you paint anything.
Fair enough.
I could sell tickets to that. I think.
Yeah, Comedy Central's commentary lately is trying to find itself. It's trying to find itself. watching myself painting. The only reason I can't choose that is because I haven't painted in a while. Although I've been doing like digital art a little bit. Trying my hand at it.
No, you have to actually paint. I think for this question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well then.
Yeah.
We
should have a painting with Bo York at some point. Don't you think? Maybe you set up a little easel here in the corner, smoke your church warden, and wear your beret.
That'd be April Fool's.
Did you think a little beret?
Yeah. Launch a new podcast. It's an audio podcast of me painting. That's what.
Oh, let me tell you, you're going to be a star,
that's
baby.
Brilliant. All right, and finally, sitting in a courtroom for jury duty selection or watching Bo spill his drink on a Monday night.
Any day with you spilling a drink is a good day.
Hey, I'll take that.
Wait, that glass is empty. Did you already spill that one?
You know, it doesn't matter. The point is that it is empty. No, I'm getting better at it.
Oh, that's good. We're trying to put the drinks in different locations. But yeah, man, I would watching you spill drink, as painful as it can be sometimes, because maybe it's a expensive alcohol, or maybe you own the property that it was spilled on.
Yeah.
You know, I would so much rather be with one of my best friends than in a courtroom during jury duty.
Thank you. The only problem is if when it's me spilling the drink, I feel embarrassment, shame, and publicly so on the internet. So it's a little different experience there.
That's great.
I actually don't mind jury duty. I haven't been called to. I've only been called for jury duty once in my entire life.
That's why you don't mind it.
Well, that might be a good point. there might be a point to that. But it is the waiting to figure out whether or not you're actually going to be part of the jury or not that does bother me. So I'll go with spilling my drink. I'll go with spilling my drink.
Okay.
Great questions, Pappy. Thank you so much for those, brother.
That's funny.
Of course, he sent those in on the forums over at thispipelife.com. If you have not checked it out yet, this pipelife.com. You can register yourself using the code CSR, and it's absolutely free to do. Great forums. Things are always being discussed. Great community that's going on. And it's not just about the quick fire questions, ladies and gentlemen. It's a great way to find out what's going on in the community at large. Not to mention a lot of visual guides as well. They are good about making a lot of great content that I know that you're going to enjoy. So check it out. Thispipelife.com. Use the code CSR when you register at thispipelife.com.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
I had kind of like a little extra.
No, that's good. I, you know, normally I don't do the ow for listener feedback, but you know, we can start that if you want me to.
No, it's fine.
I've only got so much voice.
I got you. Plus, you're still healing.
I am. We got to protect that's the goods, you know.
We got Caleb Krause who wrote in, of course, club member Caleb Krause. He says, as a Texan, might I recommend creating a barbecue tobacco for the Fort Worth Pipe Show slow smoke competition, or for a real fun time, maybe a jalapeno aromatic? Ha ha.
Jalapeno.
Yeah, the jalapenos. You know, those are the peppers.
That's the pepper.
That's the peppers.
Yeah, great. That's great.
All right, we also got JD smoking pipes. Our man, what he's saying?
Yeah, man. JD, he says, let's see. Great show, guys. You had me laughing so hard I almost dropped my pipe. John David's laugh while telling the story of Bo on Bourbon Street was priceless. And yes, it was.
Yeah, that was
looking forward to your show next week. God bless. And that's our friend Jim at JD Smoking Pipes. So, man, great, dude. We're very thankful for you, brother, and glad our shenanigans could provide you with some fun laugh.
Oh man, see that's why we gotta find another excuse to go to New Orleans because we get great content from that.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right.
We also had Jim Nelson who wrote in. Do you mind actually taking what Jim wrote in?
Yeah, no. He says, just discovered your podcast and I'm listening to back episodes. Just listened to episode 7 or on let's see. Just listened to 17 August 2016 where you read a note from a family coming up with Middle Earth inspired tobacco names. One of them was Gimchi, which was a kimchi inspired tobacco. For what it's worth, when people ask me about Perique, I always start by saying it is the kimchi of pipe tobaccos. So it's he calls it the kimchi of pipe tobaccos. Since kimchi is, broadly speaking, cabbage that is packaged up and buried in the ground for a year.
Oh, snap.
As Perique was originally, which, you know, of course, Perique was, basically, stuffed in the end of a log
for
a long period of time and then naturally fermented. He says, and again, broadly speaking, packed under pressure and buried in the ground, there was an obvious comparison. Both being fermented are quite vinegary and both are quite hot or peppery. So I think kimchi must be heavy in Perique. That's kind of a neat idea. Yeah, maybe we could go with something like that to honor Gimli and kimchi and have this Perique blend.
It's a roundabout way of getting there, but I can definitely see it.
Yeah,
I remember that email. Fun. There was a listener. He had sent in a bunch of suggestions that he and his kids had come up with, and it was really extensive. And like you could tell, they had just really just gone down a rabbit hole and found some really interesting things on
that's
the other
awesome,
side.
That's awesome, man. No, yeah. We love that. We love that.
Absolutely.
Got several listeners too that are piping in on Twitter tonight. Kurt at Undertaker Piper, he says that we were inches away from losing a follower, re the Zeppelin versus Eminem thing. He said doesn't even deserve a moment's hesitation. Zeppelin all the way.
Oh yeah, no, we were not we were not gonna. You got to pay respects for anybody.
We want to pay respect, for the Eminem folks out there.
Yeah.
Eminem, he's a good artist.
But, I mean,
we've got a great meme from Kurt. He says, "Go ahead. Click the lighter one more time."
it's a picture of you with your shades.
Picture me with my shades, staring which is kind of nice. We said from Mark VV, one of these days someone will make a raisin flavored blend that will tower over all others. And of course, our friend Varge, talking about our pet peeves when a customer thinks every blend smells like raisins.
Yeah.
I was going to put that on the list, but I've just gone there so many times I've tried to block some of that out.
No, I get that.
Our good friend Brian Levine at My Own Opinion, he says, what about when you're dealing with a customer and another know-it-all customer has to butt in on you?
Oh,
now, Brian, Brian's someone else in the industry, so you can kind of talk about this. I was hesitant to go there, but we've got folks that come in, and they've got their their pipe expertise hat on, and a lot of times they just want to take over, and that's we're glad that they know everything.
But,
and honestly, a lot of times they know more than the tobacconist does, and that's great. But go start your own pipe shop.
Hey, we need to give a major shout out, by the way, to live listener Homestead Piper. This is actually his first time tuning in live.
Oh, that's great! Yeah,
shout out to you, man.
Awesome,
Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah,
and I think actually Kurt the Undertaker was the reason that he got into it. I'm seeing some Instagram action going on.
That's awesome, man.
So that's awesome. Thank you so much for getting the word out. And hey, guys, let them know You know, Country Squire Radio is the place to check it out, countrysquireradio.com. And we do like to do the show live here, so if you ever want to join us for a live show, we encourage you to do it. Of course, you can find us again, countrysquireradio.com, at 8:30 p.m. on Monday nights. That's Central Time. You got 6:30 Pacific, 9:30 Eastern. And again, all that is at countrysquireradio.com. You can also follow us throughout the week. You can follow the show at Squire Radio, or me. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_countrysquire.
And of course, like I said, all that information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com. Well, man, this is an interesting show.
Don't you ever cut up a cigar in my shop and put it in your pipe.
I'm telling you, man. We learned some things.
And if your dog has a taste for expensive pipe polishing materials, then he's dead to me.
Oh, snap. We figured it out, ladies and gentlemen. We figured out the recipe for how do we turn the nicest tobacconist on the planet into a supervillain. I think we got the recipe tonight. So it's out there.
There was the time the guy came in and was playing the whole, like, oh, I know everything about pipes and tobaccos kind of thing. And he picked up Pirate's Alley. And Pirate's Alley, of course, is our house, one of our House Virginia Perique blends.
Right.
And he smelled it, took a deep, deep smell, and he looked at me and he said, boy, that sure has a lot of Cavendish in it. And I just looked at him like, no, it's a Virginia Perique. And the guy, there was another guy in the shop, and he was like, dude, no. It was just funny. So you just never know what's going to get under the tobacconist's skin.
Let us know what you thought about this episode, because I'm kind of curious. I personally would love to hear more crazy tales from the tobacconist side of the counter. Crazy tales from across the counter. We could do. I'm telling you, there could be a series here. But I'm curious to hear what listeners think, because I love this one.
The main thing, if you get anything from this episode, is don't leave expensive liquor at the Squire and expect to not get messed with.
It's going
to
happen.
It's just going to happen.
It's going to happen. All right, man. Well, hey, speaking of expensive liquor, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.